Well, good evening and welcome to Steadfast. Just a few moments late, and I'll get to that in a second. But we've probably been feeling like we're running a little late here and there all over during the Christmas season, right? Maybe you had this week off, or part of this week, and you were doing all kinds of Christmassy things. Maybe today was the first day back at work, and you felt like you were running behind on things that accumulated. Or maybe that's what you know will come after the new year. You know, that's coming Thursday, Friday. Ah, behind. Well, let's set that aside just for a moment. Think about it. Not too much, but a little. But set it aside, and let's talk for a second about the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. We probably all know who they are. They play prominently all throughout the Christmas season every year with their blend of rock and classical music playing different Christmas songs. It's become one of the big sources of Christmas music that we probably all listen to some degree at least. I was curious, how much does it cost to go? They come here every year. I've not been there to see them, but apparently if you'd gone, it would have cost, on average, $60 to $100 to go see them this year. Now, I suppose for a concert, that's not so bad. Certainly if you were trying to get tickets to Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, it would have cost you a lot more, but still think about it. Say four or five people go to a TSO concert. You're talking $400, $500. That's not with any refreshments, parking, anything like that. You add all that in, you're talking easily that, say, a family of four would spend $600, $700 for a night going to see a Christmas performance. Well, that's one example, but we know from experience, there are an awful lot of things that cost a lot of money this time of year, whether it's buying the gifts or going to someplace that has a favorite Christmas meal or whatever it might be. We want a Christmas of comfort and preferred seating and beautiful sights, light shows, whatever it might be. But in all that, I'm not trying to make you feel bad if you went to Trans-Siberian Orchestra. It probably was a great performance and there's nothing wrong with it per se, but isn't it funny that we've come up with all these things to do at Christmas time that end up costing all this money, requiring all this effort for comfort and enjoyment, and Christmas is about the one who came and gave up all the comfort and enjoyment for us. Kind of funny like that. So we think about what Jesus did for us, we encounter a very different Christmas. He wasn't getting preferred seating at the favorite concert of the time or going out to eat at the nicest establishment in Jerusalem. He wasn't even getting greeted by dignitaries from around the world. The wise men came later, but on Christmas night, he was greeted by shepherds, the outcasts of society, in a manger, in a stable with animals and manure. The God of the universe was in that. He wasn't getting a prime seat to see a beautiful concert or light display. He wasn't driving through a light display and seeing the music synchronized. None of that. Just dirt and filth and a path to rejection. Well, why do we go there? Do we really need that on the first Monday after Christmas? Make ourselves feel really awful? It's not really about that. It's about actually feeling better because we start to understand how much God loves us and what actually following him looks like. So that as we go into the new year, we're not surprised. And in fact, we're encouraged. And let's pray that God would help us to be encouraged tonight. Will you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time together. Lord, we do pray that you would encourage us with your word. And with some technological problems as we went in tonight, I do pray also, Lord, that you would keep us connected and allow us to enjoy this time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here is the mystery of Christmas, that God came into the world obediently into the form of the humble servant. Think about it, that's the mystery of Jesus. And we see that as we go into verse 8 of Philippians chapter 2. It says, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. We've been talking about humility multiple times over the last few weeks, both in this series and also in the series on Sunday nights and the series we did on Christmas Day. We've been going back and forth between Philippians 2 on Steadfast and looking at different aspects of the gospel's telling of the Christmas story on Sunday nights. And in all of that, what we keep coming back to is how it's very different from what we expect. It's very different from how we picture Christmas. It's very different from how we picture, say, celebrating the New Year as well. As we go through this part of the year, our expectations, our hopes, our approach is so different from what God did for us. So much of what we do is about wanting to please ourselves, wanting to have fun and merriment for ourselves and maybe some close loved ones and friends. And think about that. What we're not talking about is, how can I be obedient? Did you go to a Christmas party and say, hey, everybody, how are you thinking about being obedient in the coming year as we are together on this Christmas day? Everyone look at you rather weird and maybe nervously chuckle and move on, because that's not how we talk. That's not how we think. But if we were really trying to take Christmas and think about it in the context of what Jesus is doing for us, it'd be an appropriate place to go, because Jesus came into the world. The Son, the creator of everything, came into the world obedient to the Father, listening to the Father's will, doing the Father's will, and did it in a way that was humiliating, genuinely humiliating, not just humbling, humiliating. It wasn't just that Jesus said, okay, I'm not going to show off for a while. He came into the dirt, the stench, the pain. And in that, so much more than most of us are willing to go to, even involuntarily, right? We'll do anything to avoid those things. Well, Jesus came into it voluntarily and then endured in it. He knew how long it would go. How often when we go through something difficult do we look back and say, oh, I'm glad I didn't know how long this was going to go on. Because if I'd known it was going to be this much of a struggle, I don't know if I would have endured. I don't know if I could have endured it. And if I had any say in it at all, I may not have continued, because it's just too overwhelming. Well, Jesus knew. He came into the world humble and ready to serve. I think when we think about Christmas, one of our challenges is that it is about experiences now. Let's go ahead and we'll have a Merry Christmas right this very minute. Sometimes we want beforehand, right? If you know the original context of that song, it's in a musical where they want Christmas way early because they're going through hard times. So let's bring in Christmas for comfort. And if we have the right spirit, that's a good spirit. But really what we mean is, let's have the food we love. Let's give gifts. Let's sing the songs we love to sing. Let's do all that. But Christmas is about waiting. Jesus came into the world and waited. We have already looked at how Mary waited, how Joseph waited. We talked about that last week through our two series. And Jesus came into the world and waited. Can you imagine being the God of the universe, the one that made everything, living the life of a baby, unable in human form to do very much at all? Now, he was still God. He could have chosen to end this process of being incarnate in the flesh, but he was going to endure. He was going to do it. And so the God who could not be contained by even time itself was contained by a little body that couldn't do most things for himself. How humiliating was that? And then not even a well cared for baby in some beautiful palace. No knock on what Mary and Joseph were doing for him, but they were in a stable. There were some dirty shepherds coming to sing his praises. And this is not getting the prime tickets to the concert. This is being in the dumpster behind the concert with the air conditioning or the heating system running so loudly that you're not hearing anything. All you're doing is peering into the dumpster and seeing the trash of the people that are enjoying it. What does it really look like to celebrate Christmas and to experience it? We get into trouble when we view it as a day, and then we put all of our focus on experiencing so much in that day that's comfortable and leaves us fulfilled, when really Christmas Day is about the one who came in and didn't experience any fulfillment in that moment, didn't experience any comfort and joy in that moment. He experienced pain and suffering on and on and on, compounded over and over again for us. It's one of the reasons I think it's so important that we don't just shut off Christmas after Christmas Day. Because if we do, it really is setting us into that mindset. We get our fill of the things that we want, and then we move on. One of the reasons I love when we go through the 12 days of Christmas devotional together is it's encouraging us. Let's meditate on what Jesus has done. We can put in some days not just in preparing for all that comfort and joy and light show and present opening and everything like that. We can put in some time afterwards meditating on the amazing wonder of the incarnation and being challenged by it and being grown by it and preparing so that as we go into the year, we really are looking like Jesus. I think that's what we're confronted with when we really think about Christmas. And one reason I think it's so helpful going through Philippians 2 in the context, because Paul isn't saying, and here's how Jesus was born, but he's saying, and here's what happened when Jesus was born. And those two things are both really important. Because yes, when we know the context, we realize how humble it was and how painful it was. But do we really think about what it would be like? Can we think about it? No, we can't. We really can't imagine what it'd be like to be God and to give up everything to live in the form of us. We can't even really keep track of when we're going beyond our own limits and when we're going beyond the things that God's called us to do. Here's the Son, obedient to death, following the will of the Father. And we think about what God calls us to do. And oftentimes we're happily going along with no idea that we're going outside the lines, going past the limits every single day. I wonder, does anyone really give someone else a car for Christmas? I don't know. I see the car commercials, and I'm not sure if they're showing the giant bow on the latest luxury car just to get people's attention to come in and buy a gift for themselves, or if people really do give the gift of a luxury car on a regular basis. And if you do you get the giant bow on the car? I hope so, but in any case, here's something I do know. If you were to get into one of those finely tuned machines, and you hop into it on Christmas Day because someone gave you that, well, what are you going to do? You're going to want to drive it, right? You say, wow, I could never have afforded this car, but someone just gave me this incredible car with 400 horsepower and amazing traction control, and I am going to, it's wasn't that cold this year, so I'm going to put down the convertible top, and I'm going to go charging out on the freeway, and I'm going to drive around, and then I'll keep out Christmas lights, and I'll see those lights like I'm in a starship watching stars warp by because they're going to be going by so fast. I'm going to experience this car. Well, the funny thing with a car like that is if you were driving it, you probably wouldn't feel like you were going very fast before you'd look down and realize you were going really, really fast because it's powerful and it's well-tuned. And if you're driving an average car like most of us do, well, you know a little bit more when you're going fast. And that's something I've noticed over the years. If I happen to drive someone else's car and I'm driving my car, I'm used to how it feels and how much the feel of the road I should be feeling at certain speeds and so on. It's just sort of intuitive. I know it. I look down. Oh, yeah, I'm going about the speed I thought I was. But then you get into someone else's car that does have more power. And all of a sudden you look down and say, whoa, I'm going way faster than I intended to go because it didn't feel like it was going so fast. Well, that would probably be the sort of problem many of us would get ourselves into experiencing, not realizing we were going past the limits, but we'd be going past them just trying to celebrate the fact that someone gave us this car for Christmas with the giant red bow on it. And that bow's flapping in the wind. We don't even realize it until we see something else red in our mirrors, which is the police car trying to pull us over and tell us we've been going 30, 40, 50 miles over the speed limit. Then we'd know. Sort of the way it is when you think about obedience in relation to God, because we're often cruising along. We're so used to how our lives should feel and what we think we should be doing. What we don't realize is that if we would just look down at the dash, we would see that we are going way faster. We're going down wrong way, one-way streets, going the wrong way. We're doing all the stuff that God doesn't want us to do, and we're just so accustomed to it, we don't even know. Now, you're speeding and you don't get into a wreck, it doesn't hurt that much, I suppose. Put some points on your license, cost you some money. But hopefully, again, if you didn't get in a wreck because you were driving safely, it was handling well, it was this amazing car, it doesn't hurt all that much, right? But how much more does it hurt when we go out of the lines, when we go past the limits that God has set for us? Because every single one of them gets us into the ultimate car wreck. Single time, and we're in a fatal wreck. We're separated from the holiness of God. You know, we say, my life looks relatively under control. It doesn't feel like I'm being tossed around as I'm driving around. And what we realize is, we look at God's word is, we're just not aware. If anything, our sin puts on really good shocks. It doesn't make us better drivers. It doesn't make us more faithful drivers. It just makes us less attuned to what's happening around us. And we think that everything is smooth when it isn't. And so we think, well, I'm being relatively obedient. And yet we're ignoring God's will and his word over and over and over again. Run into a few hardships and suddenly we don't even want to do God's will. We say, well, why should I do that? God's not doing what I was hoping he would do. But Jesus didn't endure just a few hardships. The mystery of Christmas is that Jesus is God, yet he came into the world, humbled himself, was humiliated for us, and then did so even unto death. He was willing from the front to know that he was going to death. It wasn't a surprise to him. Take a look at Romans. Actually, we're going to look at Philippians 2:8 again first. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Just listen to that for a moment. That it's just incredible when you think about it. Let's take a look now. Go over to Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's funny when we think about, say, being obedient to the speed limit. It doesn't do anything other than maybe make some driver who's in too big a hurry angry at us. Maybe we get someone honking at us and acting like we should be driving faster when we shouldn't. But generally speaking, it really isn't all that bad, is it? And we avoid speeding tickets. However, what does it look like when Jesus is obedient, when he follows his Father's will? It looks like he's actually driving into the very fatal wreck that, say, a speed limit is supposed to keep us from, because what he does, and there's no way we can do this by driving somehow better for somebody else, but he lives better for somebody else, for you and for me. So the mystery is, as we're thinking about comfort and joy and how we can celebrate and make things festive, and we pack the time before Christmas with all kinds of stuff, and then many of us also try to pack the week or two after Christmas. Let's keep celebrating. And certainly, if you know me, I love the Christmas decorations and lights, so I'm in that category myself, but we pack it with all the stuff. Maybe we do catch a concert or go to parties and do all this. We keep thinking about, well, how can I be comfortable? And Jesus came into the world at Christmas saying, I'm going to be ultimately uncomfortable because I love the people I made. There's the mystery, that Christmas drives us to the cross. That's the end of Philippians 2:8. Just look at that last line again. Even to death on a cross. Jesus wasn't just obedient because he thought the Father's will would go pretty well. We think about what God calls us to do, and yes, there are times we will be persecuted for following his will. But most of the time, if we think about just what the Proverbs talk about, there's a great deal of time it goes exactly like they describe. We do God's will, and what do you know? It's the best thing we could be doing for our lives, and so they actually go better than they do when we're trying to come up with it ourselves. But Jesus came into the world knowing that he was going to make things far, far worse for himself, simply so that we could be redeemed. So we could ultimately have genuine comfort and joy. Jesus took on discomfort and the ultimate lack of joy, of actually going and experiencing the condemnation that we deserve. Christmas is really about God coming into the world to do what we can't and making things right through that. That's where we get to that joy. I can't even tell when I'm being disobedient to God most of the time. How often is it that we're reading God's word and we think, that's sort of convicting. I wonder if I haven't been handling that right. And then what do I typically want to do next? Nah, that's different context. I can explain that. It doesn't really apply to me. Or, I should think about that more. Do I get back to thinking about it? Too often the answer is no. I don't even want to be discomforted, disquieted by having to face my own failures, my own lack of obedience. And Jesus came into the world to be facing all that discomfort for my disobedience and yours. I was trying to think as I was going through this, well, how do we try to get a better sense of what Jesus really was doing on Christmas Day? And we can't really. I thought about the question I posed at the beginning about if any of you had gone to Trans-Siberian Orchestra or something like that. And certainly, if you knew the biggest TSO fan, someone who just loves that Christmas music, owns all the albums, tries to catch them every year when they tour at Christmas time, and got like a front row seat with a backstage pass for hundreds of dollars, and that person handed it over to you because he or she wanted you to be blessed by it, to enjoy it, to experience it, that would be giving up something and facing, giving up some comfort for giving someone else comfort, but not that much. What's it really like? Well, I've caught myself grumbling a little bit today, and it's a bit of a long story, but it explains why we're starting late tonight. Over the last few weeks, of course, we've had all of our Christmas events, and then we had 4 different services last week. Perfectly normal. Exactly what you hope for Christmas at a church. We want to be doing those things, but we got through Christmas Eve, and I was going to do a live stream on Christmas Day and thought, fine, I'll get everything ready. Hopefully, I'll kind of just be a little on the quiet side on Christmas Day, do that live stream, and then have a few days that are genuinely quiet because it's been intense. And that's not to pat myself on the back or anything. It's just a matter of fact of the job. It's the way it goes, and that's fine. Well, things didn't go quite how I hoped because we always do a Christmas stream. It is going. 24/7 encouragement. With Christmas joy all the way through Epiphany, and I tried to start it up on Christmas Eve and realized as I was rearranging our technology at the church earlier this year, somehow I managed to delete both the original copy of the system that ran it and the backup. So I had to try to rebuild it, and I got it seemingly working, and then on Christmas morning, it wasn't working. And so I spent Christmas trying to get it up. Try to get it up. It seemed to be partially up. Nope, it's back down, back and forth and back and forth. 2 days of fighting with computers, most of the time trying to get this up. And I was just ready to stop. But then we have, of course, yesterday's service and today's. So I started working on those, moving on, because I spent so much time on that and some other things that hadn't quite gone according to plan that I was running behind by that point. But I thought last night, finally, time for that Christmas comfort and joy. Because I had gotten the message done for today, back on Saturday. We'd already had our Sunday service. It'll just be time to slow down a little. Just take a breath, right? Because I think many of us, that's what we're really looking for at Christmas. And that's what I was hoping for until the toilet overflowed this morning. And didn't just overflow a little, it overflowed a lot. It overflowed enough to have multiple streams running down to the basement onto the clean clothes I just folded the day before. And so it hasn't been exactly a day of comfort and joy, and then some complications in trying to repair it, and somehow along the way, multiple other plumbing issues. It's been interesting, and so by the time I sat down here to join you tonight, I'm definitely a little bit more on the grumbly side, I'll say. And I thought about that somewhere along the line as I was trying to work on this, and you could smell the dirty water coming through the floorboards, and it was dripping on me, and it was really unpleasant. I thought about that, and I thought, well, if for me, human being that has access to normal sanitation that we have in a nice country in the Western world, we have running water that we don't really have to think about here in Missouri. We always have plenty. We have clean, and it's clean water, and things go pretty smoothly most of the time. The step from being that nice, clean, comfortable human being to having dirty water from the bathroom dripping on my head is pretty awful. And I think, oh, this is terrible. And I thought, well, but comparatively speaking, how's that compared to the God of the universe who made everything and is perfectly holy? He doesn't have anything dirty about him. He doesn't have anything impure about him at all, coming into the world that we live in and then going to the lowest parts of this world. Not coming into the 21st century in the cleanest palace in the richest country or something. No. Going into a little stable in an oppressed land and being amongst the cow and sheep and whatever livestock happened to be there. The manure, the smell, the dirt, the rejection, and then it just getting worse and worse and worse all the way until he died. I can't say that I suddenly thought, oh, I'm not going to complain at all. I can't say suddenly I thought, oh, well, things aren't so bad. But it does strike me that in those moments, and we all experience those moments where we're way outside of where we'd like to be, and we're really uncomfortable, and we're really tired, and we just want to slow down, and it just feels like we've been hit over and over again. If we take those worst moments, and then we realize that they still pale in comparison to what Jesus goes through, it does at least give us a sense. When we gather on Christmas, and then we continue to celebrate, and we go into this new year, Jesus was obedient to that and so much more than we can ever imagine. So we're challenged. This is the last time that we'll be doing Steadfast together in 2024. Next time we'll be in 2025. And as we think about that, how are we going to be obedient in this new year? How are we going to be obedient as we follow our God? Well, I think it really comes down to doing the very things that brought him into this world. Why did Jesus come into this world? He came into this world because he loves us, because he has mercy on us, and he wanted to bring forgiveness to us. We didn't deserve any of those things. We don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve to receive mercy. We don't deserve to receive forgiveness. And yet that's what he did for us. And so if we're thinking about how we go into 2025 and live in obedience to the one who went into the dirtiest, filthiest, grossest, most disgusting situation that the God of the universe ever could go into, and he did it so that we could be with him. There's our challenge. Can we give that gift to people? The gift of showing God's love, even when they don't deserve it, even when they're a little on the gross side, even when they're a little repulsive for one reason or another. Can we offer forgiveness? Can we be a people marked by something different than the world that talks about revenge and building ourselves up and showing how we're right? Can we be something different? That's where we're challenged. As we go through the rest of the 12 days of Christmas and we explore more about what Jesus has done for us, every time we read a little bit more of it and we think a little bit more about that, may we come back to the question, how can I follow the one who would do that for me? And when we ask that question and then ask for God's help that we can live it, we can show it to people who don't yet know him, who are still living in the squalor of life, and desperately need God's Spirit to hand them a towel and bring them into the cleansing, get that out eventually there, the cleansing that can only come from him. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we do pray that you would help us. We don't have a genuine sense of what it's like to reach that level of humiliation, that level of discomfort that your son went into this world and experienced for us. That's just at the beginning. That's just at Christmas. Far from comfort and joy, he faced what should have been far worse than he would ever experience just in that first day. And then it would get worse. As we think about that, would you confront us with this truth? That he did it for us. If we're holding on to our own strength and our own pride, would you help us to set that aside and turn to him and say, Jesus, I need you as my Lord and Savior? Because the thing that we're reminded of is that he did all this because he will do that. And may we turn to that hope. But then when you confront us with this second truth, that he calls us to follow him. And so as we go into this new year, would you help us not to be a people seeking our own way, our own preferences, but rather that we would be obedient to you. That we would listen to how you call us, that we would be people transformed, showing mercy and love and forgiveness, people who look so different from the rest of the world because we follow the one who is everything opposite to what's wrong with this world. We pray this in his precious name, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I hope this has been an encouragement to you. And certainly, if you have the opportunity, I would love it if you would join us in that 12 Days of Christmas devotional journey. And I'm going to try to pull that up on screen. Let's see. There we are. And so please do check it out. You can go to littlehills.church/12days. Or if that's not catchy enough, try 12 Days of .Christmas. That's 12 Days of .Christmas, which has a bunch of resources. And the reason I want to mention that second address to you is not only can you download the devotional, it's completely free from there. You can also go ahead and enjoy O Christmas Stream. And I really hope you do. It's been a bit of a struggle, as I said, getting it up this year. But boy, do I hope you enjoy it because it's beautiful. It's people from different churches around the world, some encouraging devotionals, some encouraging music, some beautiful fireplace scenes, and there will be more content coming in the days ahead. So I really think it can be something that can be encouraging to all of us, and I hope that maybe that you have a chance to check it out. Maybe on New Year's Day you're looking for something to put on your TV. If you have some folks over, well, turn that on, and maybe someone will hear the gospel and be encouraged, and all of us need to hear it. If there's any way I can be an encouragement to you, I love hearing from you. You can shoot me and our prayer team a text on the text line on screen or leave a comment in the comments below and we can pray for each other there. I do hope that you hop onto these other opportunities, especially it's not too late to start that 12 Days of Christmas devotional. Just start on day 6 and we'll go through it together. And then if you want, read the first few days after we get to Epiphany, which is a week from today. Let's go through this together. Let's keep thinking about what Jesus has done for us. And as we do, we can go into this new year not stronger on our own strength, but stronger because of him and his strength that he gives us through his Holy Spirit. And in that, he's going to do amazing things as we watch him work, we watch his church working in this world, and just are amazed by what he does for us. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed evening, and I'll see you again very soon.